are so glad that you are listening to the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our prayer that this helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus and encourages you to show and share the love of Jesus everywhere you go. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's dive into the message.
Super glad that you guys are here. You're joining us in kind of our second week of the series that we're calling Anchored, that just talks about like, where is our life anchored? And before we even discuss this, I have a question for all of you, and I need everybody to participate in this. You're not gonna have to say anything out loud. I'm not gonna ask you to share your answer at all. But to get your brain going this morning, I need you to think of an object, which now it sounds like a weird magic trick. That's not where this is going. Okay. I need you to think of the oldest thing that you own. Okay, just think of the oldest thing that you own. Again, you're not gonna have to share it out loud. Maybe it's like, maybe you're a stamp collector and it's like, oh, I got a stamp, you know, that's 100 years old. I don't know if that is a thing or not, but maybe, you know, maybe you've got something that was handed down to you, generationally, like, you know, grandpa, great-grandpa, great-great-grandpa left his gun. I don't shoot guns, but I now have his gun and it's really old. Maybe it's something like that. What's the oldest thing that you own? All right, so just think about that. Stew on that for just a second. I want you to try to discover it in your brain. I had trouble this morning, and then afterwards, after the service, I talked to my wife, and she was like, oh yeah, this. And I was like, oh yeah, that is older than the thing I thought of. What's the oldest thing that you own? Come up with it in your brain right now. Audrey, would you do me a favor? Can you grab me a water out of that basket right there? I can tell I'm going to need it. Thanks, kiddo. All right, you've got it. The oldest thing that you own. Okay, so picture it as I read a passage of scripture that we're going to be studying this morning. Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. Did anybody have an object in the room that is as old as forever? Nobody? And I know you're like, Scott, that's a dirty trick. I didn't know it was a trick question. I didn't know that the Bible was the answer. But yet that's where we're gonna spend our time this morning. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. I got to tell you, this morning's going to be just a little different, a little weird. We're going to be all over the map. We're going to be chasing through scripture. We're going to discover in God's word what he says and what the authors, the 40 different authors that have penned God's word, what they say about the word of God, what God himself says about his word in scripture. Because the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands and lasts forever. Let's do this. Let me pray for us this morning as we attempt to discover what God has for us. Lord, I love you. Oh, thank you, God, just for being you, for being big, for being bigger than me, for being stronger than anything we have drug in here with us today. Lord, I pray that as we explore your word, as we spend time trying to listen to your spirit, Lord, that you would speak to us. Thank you. And it's in your name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So if this is God's word and if it lasts forever, then it seems that this would be something that we could anchor and tether our lives to. That's what this series is about, anchoring and tethering our lives. Last week, we looked at this idea of anchoring. When we anchor to the world eventually is going to give way. But if we anchor to God, if we anchor to his son Jesus, if we anchor to the word of God, it's going to hold. And the idea was this heavenly anchor, and I know it's weird, an anchor that goes up, usually anchors go down. But you know, if we tether ourselves and anchor ourselves to Jesus, who has gone into the throne room to be with God on our behalf and represents us and advocates for us, he can be trusted. But what does that look like practically then in our day-to-day lives? Well, I can tell you this, I know my life. I know where I spend my time. I know where I go at times for encouragement. I know where I go for wisdom. I know where I go to be validated. And many times, oftentimes, I forget and I go to things other than the Word of God. And if I'm the only one that does that in this room, if I'm the only one that goes to other sources other than God's word for that validation, for that encouragement, for that quick fix, if I'm the only one that does that, then today will be a 24-5 minute therapy session for me alone just to work that out in front of you. If I'm not the only one, then maybe there's some wisdom that all of us can glean together. The prophet Isaiah writes this, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever." He writes that after he penned Isaiah 40 verse 6, where God's people were saying to Isaiah the prophet, and the prophets, remember, they were constantly in front of God's people, giving them either instruction, most of the time correction, sometimes encouragement, but a lot of times correction. And so God's people cry out to Isaiah, "Isaiah, come on, you got to give us something, like give us some encouragement, give us something to go on." And Isaiah 40 verse 6 says this, "A voice says, cry out. And I said to the people, what shall I cry? Because you're asking me for this wisdom. You're asking me for this encouragement. You're asking for me to solve this. But all people," Isaiah says, "all people are like grass and their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field." And then he goes on to say, "And the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever." Isaiah is saying, do not, please, whatever you're doing, nation of Israel, whatever you do, don't hang the future on me. Isaiah's like, hey, that's a lot of pressure. I don't want that pressure. Don't hang it on me. Yeah, I'm God's chosen prophet. And yeah, I'm going to do my best. But listen to what he's saying. All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field, which will fall and the grass will wither. It's crazy. Isaiah is saying, don't lean on me. When I remember my very first sermon years ago, like I had gone to college, studied like telecommunications in college, and then felt a call to ministry. And this guy, a pastor, you know, hired me as his youth pastor for like 10 hours a week, like $100 a year. It was an incredible, amazing job. I got all the like leftover potato chips and pizza that I wanted from every event. Those were my benefits. It was super cool, right? And so then he gives me the chance to preach on a Sunday morning because he and his wife are going to be on vacation. And so I'm like, I've never done this before. Can you kind of coach me through this? And he sat me down, and I'll never forget this because the metaphor in the moment was like, it was rich and it was powerful and it helped me understand what I was getting ready to do. We're talking about preparation. And he said, so I want you to think about like you're preparing for the sermon. And this metaphor was helpful and then incredibly daunting because here was the metaphor. He said, Scott, I want you to think about your preparation every week like this. You're doing the spiritual grocery shopping for the people in the congregation. It's like, yeah, I guess I am. Like I'm going through God's word, I'm studying God's word, and I'm doing the spiritual grocery shopping. He said, and then on Sunday, you serve a meal. I was like, oh. It kind of took this great big daunting thing and then made it small, made it easy to understand. Until it hit me like a couple days later when I'm doing my spiritual grocery shopping and I'm studying and writing out notes and doing all this, I'm like, what if I make something bad? What if they don't like it? What if it tastes gross? What if I make it wrong? And then that's what you see where this is going. That's when the pressure hit me. I was like, oh my gosh, like I could really screw these people up if they're eating one meal a week. But we're not designed to eat one meal a week. Oh yeah, you can look online, there's intermittent fasting, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, this is not like some new trend. Like, we're not designed to eat one meal a week. And if we, and you're gonna hear a lot of we in this, and then this is gonna turn into me, and then you just get to watch this unfold in front of you. if we think dining once a week on the Word of God from some person that got up and did some shopping and then just made something for us is going to sustain us as believers, we are in error. And I say that as a person who sits here under other people's teaching regularly as well, and will be, and I'll be sitting under Rob and listening to him. He is not responsible for my only meal in a week. I am. I have responsibility in that. Years ago, I'll try to make this metaphor make sense. Years ago, I ran a church camp in North Webster, and I sat down with a food service person because I'd never done this stuff before. And I was like, okay, kids need to eat apparently while they're at camp. And so we mapped out a menu. And I was like, well, I'm going to be doing this for 9 weeks in a row. I'm going to map out stuff that I like. So I know kids like pizza and I like pizza. So pizza's on the menu, right? And we had corn dogs one day because, ooh, I like corn dogs, right? So we had corn dogs and pizza, and I put hamburgers on the menu because I like hamburgers. Week four of camp, right? I'm in charge of the whole camp. Week four, one of my staff comes in and says, hey, can you come in here? We all need to talk to you. I'm like, I'm in charge. Like, why are you calling a meeting and inviting me to it, right? So a bunch of college kids who were working for me that summer, they call me in and they're like, we've got a problem. I'm like, what's the problem? We're serving hamburgers. I was like, what's the problem? They're like, we all like cheeseburgers. Here's what you need to know about me. I don't eat cheese. I don't like it. I don't like to look at it. I don't like to touch it. I can be around it, no big deal. But when I'm putting together the menu, I'm making stuff that I like, right? And so I didn't put cheese on the hamburgers. They're hamburgers. And they're like, oh, in the salad bar? I was like, yeah, you guys like the salad bar? They're like, no, there's no cheese. I'm like, who eats cheese on salad? They're like, everyone. I didn't know this, right? So eventually I gave in. I was like, as long as you guys make at least one hamburger for me, I'm good, right? And we started putting cheese on the menu. Here's the thing. Here's the problem in placing, right, our diet and depending upon someone else. What if I don't like, or the teacher or the leader doesn't like parts of this? You never get to eat it. Does that make sense? The grass withers and the flowers fade. The word of the Lord, all of it stands forever. Isaiah was like, hey, don't lean on me because my faithfulness will let you down eventually. And you have access to this on your own. I am going to make you raise your hand. If you work anywhere in education, would you please raise your hand? Just number one, just so we can thank you. Thank them for me, will you please? Yes, clap for them. Awesome. Do you realize 200 years ago, don't fact check me, but around 200 years ago, most people could not read. Literacy rates were like in the teens and 20s, a couple hundred years ago, which meant people had to depend, if they wanted access to be able to read the Word of God, and we're going to peel back a couple hundred years before that, if they wanted access to the Word of God to read it, it was just letters on a page, and they could stare at it, but they had no idea what it meant. Educators, I need to speak into you for just a second. If you work in education, you need to know this. You are teaching kids literacy and teaching them how to read and how to pass the standardized testing and blah, 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 and all that. You are gifting and empowering people to read, understand, and embrace the Word of God. You're not just teaching them how to pass I-STEP. Yeah, but we can moderately clap for that, right? We can, come on, seriously. Understand that's what you're doing. Yes, it's all the other things that come with it, but at the end of the day, you guys, we live in a time and an era and a date in our world that only for the last couple hundred years do we even have the ability to read this on our own. And then here's my confession. The number of times that I consult other people, other sources, online articles, books on my shelf, the number of times that I go there first is embarrassing to admit to a bunch of other people publicly. When God has given us his word and educators have given me access to read it. And it sits on my coffee table in my basement. It sits on the shelf, and I've got one in my room, and I've got one in my classroom, and I've got them all over, and it's always with me on my phone. And when something happens and I run into a thing, I go, oh, I go to my own smarts first. And oh, I think I've dealt with something like this before, so I'll think about this, and I'll stew on this, and I know this person has been through this, and so I'll ask them. And meanwhile, the Word of God is sitting here waiting to speak. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord can be trusted. I mentioned this a few minutes ago, this Hebrews passage that we looked at last week. We have this hope in Jesus as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And it, this hope has entered into the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. That's Jesus who did that on our behalf. You can go listen to last week to hear the whole metaphor. But isn't it interesting that it says it enters the inner sanctuary? It meaning the hope. But why are we referring to a person as it? Why does the text say it enters? Because Jesus in John chapter 1, we see this. In the beginning, it says, so John in the New Testament is referencing Genesis in the Old Testament, the very beginning. Genesis, a fancy word that means beginning, okay? So John 1 is actually a mirror. It's like a mirror reflection of Genesis 1. And it says this, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. How can a Word be God? What we now know, a lot of people much smarter than me, like we now know the Word was referring to Jesus. So the Word, it went into the inner sanctuary. That's why we say it went into the inner sanctuary. Jesus, it, the Word went into the inner sanctuary. It was with God in the beginning. The Word was God. Jesus referred to as the Word. Follow me here for just a second. In creation, nothing existed. And God, to put everything into motion, God did what? God said, let there be light. Well, if he said it, what did he use to say it? He used a word. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. The Word put everything in motion. All of creation was set in motion by God's Word. Is anybody else encouraged by this? So if all of creation was set in motion by the Word was with God, the Word is God, Jesus, and now Jesus intercedes on our behalf and comes to dwell within us. There's the hope that we have if we are anchored in the Word. If we are anchored in anything else, it fails, it fades. God's Word stays. His Word is older and bigger than any storm we will ever face. That's why I started with, hey, what's the oldest thing you own? You know, some of you, oh, it's 200 years old. This is generational. We've got this, and it's been in our family for 400 years. Awesome. When you say, I've got something that is forever, then you win. And here's what's awesome. We all hold within our possession and have the ability to understand and interpret God's Word that has been around forever. It's bigger than any storm, any bill, any email, any diagnosis. It doesn't mean it's going to solve it, but it is bigger. We've had moments in our family where we just get wrapped around the axle over something, and I did it recently. I was just walking through the kitchen, and Deanna and I were both amped up about something that was happening, and I was like, God's bigger and older than all of this. We're going to be okay. When we're anchored in that, it changes the game. John 1 chapter 3 goes on and says this, through him, the Word, all things were made. That's the creation reference. And without him, nothing that was made has been made. Colossians 1:17. He, Jesus, the Word, is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So the Word becomes the glue in our life to hold things together. If his Word can hold galaxies together, I think it can handle a job transition. If his Word can hold creation together, I think it can handle that situation at work. If his word can hold all of creation, the stars, the moon, the planets, gravity, and all of those things in place, he can handle an economy that goes in lots of directions. If we're anchored in him, it changes the game. Yeah, I was a youth pastor for a lot of years, and one of the kids in my youth group years ago, he was a part of a local Bible quiz team, which I think is awesome. Please, no one hear me criticizing Bible quiz teams. I think it's super incredible, kind of nerdy, but super cool, okay? I think it's awesome. This year, these kids were memorizing the book of Philippians, and this kid like went to this other church and joined them, and he'd memorized the entire book of Philippians. Nailed it. Like, he would have me quiz him from time to time. I was like, man, you got it. He calls me and says, can we meet one day? And I'm like, yeah. Comes to my office and he's melting down. I was like, what's up? He's like, my girlfriend, we broke up. You know, it's been 3 weeks and blah, blah, you know. And it's like melting down. His girlfriend broke up with him. And I was like, whoa, wow. Okay. You know, are you losing your house? No. I'm like, right. And, you know, so like I'm trying to embrace the moment. Okay. His world is falling apart. And I'm like, oh, let's do this. Let's go to the Word of God together. Right? And I was like, hey, you're on the quiz team, right? And he said, yeah. I said, what's the Bible say about this? And he perked up and he goes, blah, 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 blah. And I don't remember what verse, but he starts like reciting word for word out of Philippians. And he's going, I was like, whoa, pump the brakes, partner. Like, got it. You know that perfectly. What does it mean? And I'll never forget his response. He goes, what do you mean? And I was like, what does it mean? He goes, oh, blah, 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 and starts reciting it again. I was like, bing. I didn't ask you what it says. I asked you what it means. And he looked at me like a puppy looks at something new that it's never seen before. And I was like, okay, so for the next 20 minutes, my goal is to help you get this from here to here, to help you move it from your head to your heart, so you can actually own this. Because here's the thing, he had access to it, he had the knowledge of it, he didn't own it. It had not become a part of him. I don't want anybody to walk out hearing me say, we need to memorize the Bible. So, all right, so you guys, you get Exodus and Leviticus, and sorry for you guys, you get Numbers and Deuteronomy, and you guys, right, you get some fun stories in the Old Testament, and you guys, you get all of the epistles. So that we can be the smartest church in town, so that everybody knows we know this better than anybody else. That's not the goal. I heard Rick Warren say years ago, he's a pastor in California, he said, the goal isn't to get through the Word of God, the goal is to get the Word of God through us. The goal isn't to get the Word of God, to get through the Word of God. Read the Bible, you know, I was planning on doing it a year, did it in 9 months. Bam, awesome. What does it mean? Well, I don't know, but I killed it in 9 months. The goal isn't that we get through it. The goal is that it gets through us. I had another season of my life where I was meeting regularly with a mentor, and we were talking one time, and he stopped me. He goes, hey, so real quick, he said, in the last 15 minutes, you've mentioned this author, this author, this author, and this author, and this author. I was like, I know. Like, I've gone to this conference and I bought all the books from the conference and I'm just pouring over stuff and outlining and memorizing and studying stuff. And he's like, that's great. He said, you've not once referenced the Word of God. I was like, well, yeah, I did, because when this guy said this, that's what he goes, no, 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 but that's what this guy said about the Word of God. Okay. And he goes, well, and then when you said this, I was like, yeah, but, and he said, yeah, but that's what this guy said about the Word of God. What are you learning and gleaning from the Word of God? What is the Word of God saying to you? And so then I went on this journey for about a year because I was convicted and I was like, okay, it's not that I read nothing else, but I just realized I need to spend time here and I need to allow the Word of God to speak. Because if the Word says, and if the Word tells me The word of God is alive in Hebrews. The word of God is alive and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. And it penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And his word, Jeremiah says, is like fire and like a hammer that breaks a rock into pieces. If that's what his word does, why am I settling for notes and quotes from other people that have read God's word instead of allowing it to speak to me? And I'm just another guy. I'm like all of us, probably worse. I'm just confessing, you guys, I have replaced the word of God way too many times with the wisdom of the world. And I have anchored to somebody else's really cool stuff and what they learned rather than tethering myself to the word of God. The reason we picked this anchored series is because this church is getting ready. Rob's coming. I got to hang out with him this week, and we talked about the series after this one, and we're starting to map that out together. And we're leaning into a new season and what God's going to do, and we're excited, and it's good. But we are foolish if we anchor to anything other than the Word of God. We are foolish if we anchor to anything other than Him, the Word, who entered into the throne room on our behalf, interceding for us. And so I'm going to end with two specific things. Number one, and some of you already, you're like, you've been on pins and needles because you're like, he didn't say it, he didn't say it, he didn't say it. I need to remind you, welcome to Mission Point. We believe the Bible is foundational and central to what we do. And if you don't have one of those, we want to gift you with one. That's why every week we say that phrase. You can go out to the lobby, stop out there. We'll put a Bible in your hand because we believe anchoring to that is the most important thing that we can do. And yet, the world gets going and things get crazy and our word like stuff spins. And here's the second thing that I'm just going to admit and share and I'm just going to confess. Outside of studying for what I did this week to talk about this, I talked to ChatGPT more than I talked to God's word. I did. And for you, let me just ask you, how many quotes, clips, how many posts did you consult and allow to drive your life, my life, our lives? How much of that did we read in comparison to the word of God that is powerful, everlasting, forever, bigger, stronger, truer, I don't know if that's a word, truer than everything? I'm not proud of that. Somebody afterwards was like, hey, good job. I'm like, yeah, I'm still working through it. I'm still like, this week was hard. It's hard to realize like where I am, and I'm just trying to preach and teach and talk through the conviction that the Lord is kind of stewing in me. And again, if this is my therapy session, sorry, but if it's encouraging to know that you're not alone and that God's word even wants to speak to that, then that's my hope as we walk out of here today, that you're left with encouragement and a reminder, he wants to meet with us. Because here's the thing. Man, we will all starve if we only eat once a week. I'll just pray. God, I love you. Lord, I pray that if there's anything dumb that I said, that it would just fall away and your truth would convict, that it would care, it would minister, that it would encourage, Lord, that your truth would stick to our guts. It would stick to our minds. Lord, that your truth would bring about the change that you want in us. That your truth would bring about the encouragement that you want us to hear and receive this morning. That your truth, Lord, would lead us this week because you know what next week holds. So Lord, help us in this moment, even as just we sing these couple songs, Lord, help us to receive what it is that you want. and to walk out of here as changed people. So we give these moments to you.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's message. We would love to personally invite you to one of our Sunday services at 9 or 10:45 a.m. in the Performing Arts Center at Warsaw Community High School at 1 Tiger Lane in Warsaw, Indiana. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to subscribe and connect with us on social media by following Mission Point CC. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Mission Point. Simply visit missionpoint.net/give and give a gift today. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great week.